This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Inside Story on BFM 89.9.
It is 6:06. Welcome to Inside Story, where we take you behind the big headline of today, looking at it from different perspectives. I'm Sharmila Ganesan, along with Lee Chui Lin. Today, we're focusing on a potential collaboration between Parti Keadilan Rakyat and UMNO for GE15.
First up, we'll hear from Keith Kam of BFM News, who attended the press conference. And then Dr. Bridget Welsh will join us to look at how changing collaborations and coalitions have impacted our politics.
And then, what would PKR and UMNO coming together mean politically and in GE15? Ben Sufian, Program Director at the Merdeka Centre, will be speaking to us for that.
And finally, to understand what all this might say about Datuk Sri Anwar Ibrahim's political future, we'll be catching up with Badrul Hisham Ismail, Director of Programs at Iman Research. This is Inside Story.
It is 6:07, and we are going to be spending the next hour talking about some pretty big news, really. The fact that there is a potential collaboration between PKR and UMNO in terms of the upcoming election, because Datuk Sri Anwar Ibrahim said that there have been informal discussions between the two parties. A lot of that was a lot of people were expecting more on that from the press conference that he just had at 4:30. And he said that that was what it would address. But so far, there's still a lot of things are up in the air. But the thing that has gotten most people talking is the fact that we've just had defections from three PKR members as well. And that includes, most importantly, founding member Dr. Xavier Jayakumar.
So I really do have to emphasize that this, when you say up in the air, you really mean up in the air.
Yes.
Because all that Datuk Sri Anwar said today was that discussions are still in the early stages. A cooperation can't be ruled out. There isn't yet an agreement, whether formal or otherwise. And he also took the opportunity to say once more that Prime Minister Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin does not have a majority. And if we look at what this says about, the next twist and turn, I suppose, in this path, this political path that Anwar is walking, he did say to Mingguan Malaysia last Sunday, I love this quote, "I haven't failed to be prime minister, it just hasn't happened yet."
And that is a good one, I have to admit.
Yes, but he did also say that if it doesn't happen for him in GE15, that he will step aside for the younger generation. And on that younger generation, he is trying to persuade Nurul Izzah as well as Shafrizi Ramli to return to active politics.
Now, the other player in this is, of course, UMNO, and there has been conflicting messaging coming out of them about this supposed coalition, right? Sharil Hamdan, who's the party information chief, said yesterday that UMNO is strongly against any cooperation with PKR or DAP. Datuk Dr. Ashraf Wajdi Dusuki, who is the youth chief in UMNO, says that Anwar's claims are a quote-unquote political stunt to keep his leadership alive. Meanwhile, Datuk Sri Azalina Othman, who's the Supreme Council member, said that UMNO has 3.5 million members. It's not the prerogative of one man to make a decision for such a big party. The decision is not valid without endorsement from the Supreme Council.
Now, earlier today, BFM's Bigger Picture caught up with Fahmi Fadzil, PKR Communications Director and Lembah Pantai MP. And when asked about the common ground that UMNO and PKR might share, this is what Fahmi had to say.
It dawned on me that when people say PKR has suffered a lot by having these 15 MPs now, I think, have defected. But actually, UMNO suffered as many much earlier. And we seem to have forgotten that UMNO lost 15 MPs after Pakatan Harapan came into power. They didn't join PKR, they joined Bersatu. And that has caused grief and irreparable damage for UMNO. So in some bizarre twist of fate, UMNO and PKR have suffered the same blows and we face effectively the same enemy. Whether we can work together, really, I don't know. It's still too early to say. I think, if anything, my belief is that we do need to see Malaysian politics come to a center. I remember there was an interview and Sharil Hamdan and I were on BFM. I said this and I still hold true to this. And my position is to go back to the idea of Malaysia when it was formed in 1963, is to fight for a moderate, progressive, middle Malaysia. So that centrist position is something that many of us have to acknowledge and walk to and find that common ground. That is Malaysia. And those who can sit with us with these principles that we will not let go of, including anti-corruption, reforms of institutions, yeah, so long as anyone, and I mean this broadly speaking, anyone who agrees with us on these principles, inshallah, we can work together with them. But the permutation, the exact configuration or the formula for working together, I believe it's still early to say. Just to reiterate, we must repair, we must find a way to heal and to move forward.
That was Fahmi Fazil, PKR Communications Director and Lembah Pantai MP, in a conversation with Bigger Picture about the possibility of an UMNO-PKR alliance. We also reached out to UMNO Party Information Chief Sharil Hamdan, but he has not responded as yet.
So let us know your thoughts on this. Do you feel any of these political coalitions right now represent you or your interests as a voter? You can call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. Meanwhile, we're now crossing over to our very own Keith Kam, who was at that PKR press conference earlier today. Keith, thanks for checking in with us.
Hi guys.
So what were some of the key points that were made during the press conference?
So, like you guys were discussing, I mean, there were several issues that had been bubbling under, resulting in today's press conferences. But he talked about three main issues. The first one being party hopping. As we all know, three PKR members, including a former minister, Xavier Jayakumar, they have defected, left PKR and decided to become independent, declaring their support for Prime Minister Tan Sri Muhyiddin. Anwar says earlier today that he had met with 36 PKR MPs along with a couple of Menteri's Besar, and he assures that he has the support of all of them. He also alluded to what he sees as the Perikata National Government's use of the police and the Malaysian Anti-Corruption Commission to intimidate MPs to defect. He was obviously referring to Xavier amid reports that he himself was being investigated, Xavier, I mean. In any case, he says three party defectors are still not enough to give Prime Minister Muhyiddin the necessary parliamentary support of 110, the magic number that he needs. There was a question that was thrown at him towards the end of the press conference. If you remember, he said that he had, I forgot the exact words, but it was like he had a convincing majority, which he claimed to have last year. When he was asked whether he still had that convincing majority, his response was, "I have an adequate majority." But he also added that, you know, Perikatan Nasional have yet to state just what their majority really is. In any case, I did ask him as well, you know, the maths that he came up with. He says Perikatan Nasional claims that he has that they have 111 MPs, but Anwar says that a portion of that really supports PKR, Pakatan Harapan. The second issue he was discussing was the issue of that interview that you were talking about that appeared in Mingguan, Malaysia. He claimed that he was open for PKR to work with UMNO. His response, he is not denying the possibility of a cooperation. Stress on the word possibility. But he also insists that it must be along the same principles of fairness for all, free from corruption, ensuring that Islam, the special privilege of Bumiputras, the language Bahasa Melayu, and the rulers must be upheld as per the federal constitution. But he also stressed that it's not just the special privilege of the Bumiputras, but to all who need it, regardless of religion. The third one was that he told everyone he got his vaccine today. but he did suggest that a lot of improvements need to be made because, as everyone's saying, the My Sejahtera is too complicated, and he is asking for MPs to go down to the ground and help people register because, well, it is complicated. He also brought up the issue that, you know, the Pfizer vaccine that he got requires two doses. He's suggesting that maybe the second dose be delayed so that more people could get the first dose. He says he's done his research showing that one dose is good enough.
Keith, thanks for those updates. That was BFM's Keith Kam on the press conference held by Dato' Sri Anwar Ibrahim. Let us know your thoughts on these political coalitions. Do you think that they represent your interests? Did you tune into the press conference? You can call us 7732900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. After this, we'll be discussing the impact of these political collaborations on the wake of the fact that UMNO and PKR are set to be considering a collaboration. We'll be speaking with political analyst Dr. Bridget Welsh. Keep it here, BFM 89.9.
Build Fairer Malaysia, BFM 89.9.
It is 6:17. You're listening to Inside Story with Sharmila and Lynn. Today, we are discussing news that Parti Keadilan Rakyat and UMNO might be joining forces and what this means for our political landscape. So let us know whether these political coalitions resonate with you. Do any of the ones we have now make sense to you as a voter? What do you make of PKR and UMNO potentially working together? You can call us 7732900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio.
So for the first angle that we're taking for this, we're going to be looking at how these changing collaborations and coalitions have impacted us and the larger Malaysian political landscape. Joining us for this, Dr. Bridget Welsh, Honorary Research Associate at the University of Nottingham Asia Research Institute Malaysia. Bridget, it's always a pleasure to have you with us.
Good evening.
So I'm just going to ask a bit of an existential question. How did we end up here? How has Malaysian politics been impacted by coalitions and their shifts over time?
Well, it's interesting. The day after the Ides of March, there's kind of a sense of betrayal that's happening in Malaysian politics. I think others sort of see this as an opportunity to restart. But the problem is, you know, given the individuals and some of the baggage that's involved, it's very difficult to restart under those circumstances and somewhat impossible. But if we ask ourselves why we've moved from a situation of kind of where politics has been about reform, the promise of hope and change, to a situation where it's really about personality politics, I think that you have to sort of look at what are some of the factors behind that, and that it's clearly the issues of leadership or the lack thereof, and some of the facts that the leadership constrains the opportunity for different types of actors to move together, so their personality, relationships, as well as some of the baggage that they carry, be it Najib, be it Anwar, be it Azman, for example. I think in the discussion of leadership, we also see a loss of a kind of moral compass of many of the leaders as they focus on the kind of the sense of their own interest as opposed to the interest of the country. You see a fragmented system, so people are looking to try to get out of that fragmented system. People are not familiar with how to deal with fragmentation and political instability. And so they look for what I call political vehicles. So they look for other parties to come together and to be a vehicle to put themselves in power. And we've seen this practice now through Sheraton Move and through these conversations now that are taking place right at the current moment. And I think finally, and not to be left out in this discussion of the kind of underlying reasons, is the fact that there is still this kind of racialized politics that is behind all of this, that you need to work with a party that is a Malay political party so that you can actually ally to get into power or to win votes. And so this also is a constraint that goes beyond the issues of the individuals. And so you see a situation where Malaysia is seeing all new partnerships emerge and things that people would have never expected from a perspective of reform politics have now become the norm in kind of personal interest, personality politics.
Bridget, you mentioned a few of those big names that we've heard a lot of. And I was wondering, when it comes to these sorts of political alliances, which end up mattering more, these big personalities, the leadership that drives those decisions, or the party that's handling the negotiations?
Well, I think both are important, but they're important in different ways. The personality sets the parameters for the conversation and has the space to be able to make the negotiations that they think are important. So, for example, in the conversations with UMNO, the only certain leaders of faction will be able to speak for that, and they not control the entire party. And that's, for example, even with someone like Anwar negotiating with UMNO, he doesn't speak for Pakatan Harapan in that process. He speaks only for PKR. So there's a certain sense of space. But there is a responsibility for leaders to have to go back to their grassroots. And some parties have much more powerful grassroots than others. UMNO in particular, DAP is another party that has a very powerful grassroots. PKR, a little bit less so. But the parties themselves become their institutions, the grassroots, and the bodies within it are things, are vehicles that these leaders have to get approval of. And if we see this particular press conference that happened, I consider this a balloon press conference. So in a sense, to kind of put the idea out there, to see what the people's reactions are, to kind of to confirm the rumors that have been going on for such a long period of time that there are these conversations. And you know, this adequate numbers balloon conference really basically talks about, shows that the personalities are very important in setting those parameters. But the parties themselves are still obstacles, and the grassroots are still obstacles, and they're going to come. So things are very much at the early stages.
So when we include the grassroots in this conversation, right, are the political parties and coalitions that we see in Malaysia actually reflecting the desires, needs and diversity on the ground? Or as we've long heard, you know, do they exist in sort of a separate sphere?
Well, I think the leaders think that they represent those grassroots. And what is happening in this kind of macro shift of away from reform politics to personality politics is that we're seeing a situation where the interests of the people inside parties are being left behind. And the interests of the public, even which is even not many of most of them not in political parties, but maybe some supporting them in terms of voting for them, they are actually being further from this discussion. You know, these elitist type of discussions focused on the interests of elites, and then they couch this as saying, okay, this is for the country, these are the interests for the country, but there's tremendous trust deficits across the political spectrum for all the political parties involved. So therefore, there isn't the sense that these individuals are actually going to carry out that, because they don't seem to have a kind of moral, particular ideological base, with the exception perhaps maybe of FAS, which is actually really connecting very well to its base and what it's trying to advocate for. But the other parties that are being seen as more personality-based and more pragmatic in their interactions don't have that. And so we see a very different situation. And in this balloon conversations that happened in this press conference, you know, you see there's a lot of pressuring happening. So, you know, people go out, they make a press statement, and they say, we're going to make these negotiations. And so what happens to those inside the parties that don't agree with that? Well, they're now stuck. They're caught, right, in this positioning. So there's a pressuring of those to accept that these conversations should continue. And of course, there's denial that they've reached some settlement. But the fact is that these conversations have had traction in this process. And the irony of the recent press conference just now is that there is pressuring to accept this kind of PKR UMNO discussions comes with a discussion that they're saying PKR is facing pressure from the MACC and the use of MACC. So there's like almost a double pressuring in this dynamic.
Generally speaking, how stable are coalitions in Malaysia?
Well, I think, you know, we have to distinguish between before 2018 and after. I think before 2018, we found that coalitions were extremely stable. Malaysia was one of the most stable coalitions in the world. And that in the sense that it had what we call pre-election coalitions as opposed to post-election coalitions. So that the partnerships were set in place. The move towards post-election coalitions began in 2009 in Perak, where Pakatan Rakyat came together and formed the government there. And then that happened and extended into other states in that process. And what we now see by 2018, we saw a kind of the numbers increased to more post-election coalition to include parties like Warisan, for example, and to secure the numbers to have to be able for Pakatan Harapan to govern. And of course, that coalition proved itself not able to come together because of the rise of personality politics. And the differences between Anwar and Mahathir, which clearly everyone knows, and of course this coalition collapsed. And now we see a situation where there are more looser alliances So they're not as tight. And so with that looseness comes the possibility of new configurations. And without the focus on a kind of ideological foundation or connections, which I think in some ways PN, Pakatan Nasional, has a bit more of that than the other parties at this point, then they become even more less stable. And people and parties become much more pragmatic in the choices that they're making. And of course, this in itself creates a system that in itself is much more unstable.
Bridget, we just have a couple of minutes left with you, but we've heard the revisiting recently of the concept of a grand coalition. What might that look like in Malaysia? How do you see it affecting our politics?
Well, we need to look at countries that have kind of grand coalition politics that are based on personality. And the most interesting example of that is Indonesia, where Indonesia finds the ways to accommodate different parties together through the allocations of patronage and positions. And of course, they find some sort of working formula. Now, the difference, however, is that Indonesia is a presidential system, so there's a much more hierarchical arrangement. And of course, Indonesia doesn't have the history of parties feeling they should be in different power positions, the instability comes from this real sense of entitlement as well as greed within the system. And I think that it is very challenging to imagine a grand coalition in Malaysia as long as UMNO is the way that it is, because it believes it is grand and the rest of the coalition is not important.
Bridget, thank you so much for speaking with us today.
Most welcome.
That was Dr. Bridget Welsh, Honorary Research Associate with the University of Nottingham Asia Research Institute, Malaysia.
So we want to know, do any of the political coalitions right now represent your interests as a voter? What do you make of these murmurings of PKR and UMNO collaborating? You can call us 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio.
And coming up, we'll be looking at what a collaboration between PKR and UMNO would mean with Ben Sufian of the Merdeka Centre. So stay tuned to Inside Story, BFM 89.9.
Bigotry Free Malaysia, BFM 89.9.
It is 6:38 and you're listening to Inside Story with Sharmila and Lynn. We're discussing the fact that PKR and UMNO might be considering teaming up and what this means for our politics.
Yeah, so might be is very strong. I feel like we need to re-emphasize
might
that because...
Might be.
Perhaps in the early stages of discussion. But these rumors have long been percolating and they were addressed in a press conference, somewhat addressed, given by Datuk Sri Anwar Ibrahim a little bit earlier. But we thought that the time was ripe anyway to look at what this might mean, particularly as we are clearly headed towards GE15 and the conversation about things like seat allocation and allies continues to heat up. But we've been asking you for your thoughts on this, particularly in terms of whether you feel coalitions, any of the existing coalitions or potential ones, represent your interests and also what you make of this collaboration. And we do have this from Nikki.
So Nikki says, I think it is now time for the up-and-coming influencers who can disrupt the political norm as an independent candidate, but these groups of leaders have a shared vision on how to run the country as a group. Party leadership and its ranks have its own issues and kataks.
So I think, that idea of doing away with party is so entrenched, right? Party politics is so entrenched in Malaysia that I think it will be really interesting to see how that goes, especially because independent MPs are also continuing to ally themselves anyway with existing parties. So even our independents are not exactly... I don't know if I would consider them, you know, trailblazing in their own right.
Mm-hmm. I do like this idea of the up-and-comers being given a chance to sort of move forward, because that's something many people have been talking about, making space for the new ones, essentially. We also have this message from Maggie.
Maggie says, I've not been interested in political parties for a long time, but I've been left with no choice. I prefer to vote for the person, but sometimes they are in parties which I don't subscribe to. I can only hope that I'm still of sound mind to vote if or when the Malaysian voting scene changes to what I've been looking for. I'm also quite disappointed when a politician who wants my vote asks me what I want from him or her as my MP, because if they don't even have any idea of my needs, how can I possibly believe that they have my interests at heart?
I get how you feel, Maggie. I think this is a feeling that many many Malaysians increasingly feel, that a sense of disillusionment with those who are supposed to represent us, I think.
Yes, and also this point about if they don't have any idea of my needs, I do think that it is important to show that you have ideas and to show that you have plans, because otherwise, especially the way our political system works, I have to believe that you will represent me. You are supposed to advocate for me in many ways when it comes to policy making. So that's going to be crucial. But keep those thoughts coming. You are listening to Insight Story, and today we are looking at this idea of collaborations between political parties, what they could mean. This is coming on the back of PKR and UMNO, essentially, I don't know, signaling perhaps that there might be a possible collaboration.
Yeah.
Yes. And we are going to forge ahead, I think. Now we do have, we're going to have two more political analysts on the line with us. We're going to be hearing in a little bit from Ben Sufian, Program Director at Merdeka Center. We're also going to be hearing from Badrul Hisham Ismail of Iman Research. They're going to be tackling two separate issues, as we have been for Insight Story. So we're going to be looking at what this collaboration might mean, as well as essentially what this might signal for the future of Datuk Sri Anwar Ibrahim and politics. So keep it here on Insight Story, BFM 89.9.
Break from monotony, BFM 89.9.
It is 6:44. You're listening to Inside Story with Sharmila and Lynn. We have been talking about a potential rumored collaboration between PKR and UMNO, as well as what this means as we move forward towards GE15, how it might shape our politics. Let us know if you have thoughts on this, whether you feel that these political coalitions represent you and your interests as a voter. You can call us 7733290, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. Now, to discuss what all of this means for Datuk Sri Anwar Ibrahim particularly and his future in politics, we have joining us Badrul Hisham Ismail, Director of Programs at Iman Research. Thanks for being here, Badrul.
Hi, thank you for having me.
So let's start with what Datuk Sri Anwar said, right? He said that he has the majority in Parliament on more than one occasion, 2008, 2013, last year. What do you think is giving him the confidence to say this? And how has this impacted him politically when these announcements haven't actually panned out?
Well, to be honest, at this point, only he knows why he made these statements in the most grand gesture. And over time, after telling people that he has the numbers and having failed to sort of produce it, or having failed to sort of let it, let the outcome be on his favor, people are starting to see him as someone who, I mean, probably even before this, but people are already starting to see him as someone who talk but can't really walk.
Yeah, so that's interesting, because I wanted to address as well how his image has changed over the years, from when he was with UMNO to the split away from that, and in more recent times, especially with the increasingly public challenges to his leadership.
Well, I guess he burst into the political scene as a young youth leader, Muslim youth leader in the 70s, and then when he sort of courted by UMNO to join the party, because he was already having that kind of image. And at that time, UMNO wanted to be sort of seen as Islamic as the arrival at the time, which was Abbas. And then, of course, his career in UMNO was sort of on an upward trajectory until the day when people started to, until Reformasi, of course, when people sort of didn't see it coming. And then during the Reformasi time, people still see him as the young, as the urban-centric Muslim leader that is sort of comfortable in the international arena, but also have a strong Muslim, Malay Muslim identity that people can sort of relate to. And it gels into the growth of the Malay Muslim middle class at the time, which was basically, I would say, a lot of his core support came from. with organizations like ABIM and other sort of urban-centered Muslim organization. But since then, he's been zigzagging. After his release from prison, he was just sort of looking for partners that can, you know, ally with him to fight against AMNO at the time, and then all the way up until he became part of the previous government. But I would say it would sort of, at least, probably it has to do with him being incarcerated a few times and then being sort of losing the grip within his own coalition and within his party as well. His image has not been in sort of the rising as he was when he was in AMNO.
How much of an actual threat is Anwar to Muhyiddin right now?
At the time, I would say pretty much none. It seems that whatever his move, Muhyiddin is always one step ahead. And I would say the only way we can figure out whether he is a threat or not, if one, if Parliament is in session, even if Parliament is in session, I don't think he's much of a threat because clearly AMNO still cannot make their mind. And then this whole thing is sort of, you know, making the relationship between PKR and DAP and Amanah, you know, it's not, you know, in the best relationship. So what the only thing we can say whether he's a threat or not, if we actually go into an election, and then we can see throughout the campaign period whether he is garnering the sort of support that he says he has.
I know that most analysts don't enjoy crystal ball questions, so I apologize in advance. But what do you think the future holds for Anwar? I mean, do you see him becoming prime minister someday?
Well, it's not a crime to try to become a prime minister.
So no, it is not.
To do that. I don't know. I mean, right now, everything is up for grabs. What we have learned the past few years in Malaysian politics is that we're not going to have a solid or a stable political domination from any party. And I don't think it's going to happen anytime in the future. There will be probably strong or weak coalition, which we still, you know, will have to see. And I think his future will depend on, I mean, unfortunately, in Malaysia, to be a political leader, you don't only need the support from the public. You need to be able to get the support from the political elite and from the people who are in party politics. And Anwar's challenge is actually not just about getting public support, which I don't think is much of a challenge for him, given his oratory skills and, you know, he is still not, you know, tainted by any sort of corruption charges like a lot of other politicians have. But his ability to hold the political elites and people within the political spectrum right now, with people who are in parliament, people who are in political parties, that hasn't seemed to be his strength.
And conversely, do you think that Anwar would settle for PKR being the government but without himself as prime minister?
I think that is more of a question to PKR. I think PKR need to think about whether they are an Anwar party or they are more than that. So within PKR, they need to decide on that first. And if they decide and if they think that they can, for them, PKR is more than just Anwar, then they need to start thinking about who are they going to push for. And I think when it comes to the shove, when push comes to shove, if people in PKR decided they are no longer going to be just an Anwar party, then Anwar had nothing to say. I mean, he can't disband the party. So, yeah.
Badrul, thank you for your thoughts.
Thank you for having me.
That was Badrul Hisham Ismail, Director of Programs at Iman Research, talking to us about Dato' Sri Anwar Ibrahim's future in the wake of a potential rumored collaboration between AMNO and PKR. Let us know what your thoughts are. You know, do you find that these sorts of political coalitions have your interests at heart? Do you have a clear idea of how you might be voting should the next elections, when the next elections come? You can can call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. We have a couple of messages here.
We do. And generally speaking, they are expressing a certain level of exhaustion, which I think many of us hit with politics at a certain point. Long Long, for example, says, here we go again. Enough said. We also have MZ with a... with a more pointed and rather sad remark, actually, saying, sorry to say that Malaysian politics is going down a very dark road. No integrity these days. Where are the ideals? Sane-minded Malaysians, please consider migration. We will soon be very much behind other Southeast nations at this rate. And, you know, I don't know if I'm an idealist. I want to not believe this to be true. I find it very hard to, or rather, I think it's important not to let politics necessarily shape your view and experience of your own country.
Yeah, and I think that's sad because our politicians and our politics are not us, right? But unfortunately, with the amount of attention that we necessarily have to have them, we necessarily have to give them, it often feels like they are. And I think that often does lead to that sense of exhaustion that most of us feel. Now, to talk to us a little bit more on what a potential collaboration between PKR and UMNO could mean for our politics as we move towards GE15, we have with us on the line Ben Sufian, Program Director at Merdeka Center. Ben, good to have you with us.
Thank you for having me on.
So, how significant is this potential partnership?
Well, you know, it is a discussion or potential partnership based on interest and also expediency, in my view. I mean, you know, Anwar or PKR was originally a splinter party from Barisan Nasional or from UMNO more than 20 years ago. And I think now things have become often full circle where the former foes have now again found common interest in their shared political destinies. And so now we see Anwar actively speaking to UMNO leaders, and some of them have expressed, you know, the intention to carry on talking about this thing. So it does reflect the cyclical nature of politics in our country, as it happens everywhere else.
We do have a message from KC, a listener who says, it looks like UMNO is using Anwar to help them bargain with Bersatu for the second time. I was wondering what your thoughts were on that.
Well, I think when we look at politics here in Malaysia, by the nature of our electoral system, which is the first-past-the-post system, there isn't a lot to bargain when you are contesting for seats, meaning when you're bargaining, you have to give up something in return for something else. In the context of where UMNO currently stands, UMNO wants to be a dominant party again and wants to be in a government that it calls the shots. And in this context, if it shares seats with Bersatu as well as PAS in the current coalition of Perikatan Nasional, it has to give up a lot of seats in parliament. Because our country is organized into ethnically defined seats, UMNO typically contests about 100 seats in the 222 parliamentary districts. And so if it's in coalition with PAS and Bersatu, which are also Malay Muslim parties, UMNO has to give up a share of those seats. But if UMNO contested in those seats without sharing it with Bersatu or PAS, it then can deal with other parties like PKR or DAP or the Sabah and the Sarawakian parties. And therefore, they don't have to give up as much seats in order to be part of government. And if they perform very well in an election, because they can draw support from the Malay Muslim majority electorate, they have a higher chance of determining who becomes prime minister or putting across its candidate as the PM, which I think in the Malaysian context holds an enormous amount of power and executive action.
So we've heard party members on both sides saying that they won't be working with the other party. How will these sorts of disagreements affect these ongoing conversations? How will they impact the respective parties?
At this point in time, I think it's very early. A lot of people are still very much wedded to the existing ideological and also the idealistic positions of their respective parties. So like I said earlier, we have ethnically dominant parties, and UMNO, being a party of Malay Muslims and, you know, with a nationalist bent, have always been working against the DAP, against PKR, whom in previous elections have seen these parties as its main adversaries. But I think once elections are held, I think that the situation will change. So I think what we are seeing right now are the voices who are still embedded within the party and embedded with the idealism of the parties. So likewise, there are UMNO members who say no Anwar, no DAP. Likewise, there probably are PKR and DAP members who doesn't want to deal with UMNO, with Najib or Zahid there. But once elections are held, I think things will change. So I think what we need to see is between now and elections, are they really going to be able to cooperate, you know, in an electoral pact or some formal kind of arrangement like that? Or will it just be they're all going to contest against one another and then you then have the possibility of forming coalitions after the election, which is, I think, a more possible scenario.
Ben, we just have a minute left with you. What other developments can we look out for?
I think we need to look at the situation within UMNO itself. You know, UMNO today is not as strong as UMNO it was, you know, 5 years ago. And UMNO is led by Zahid Hamidi, who's facing a lot of charges in court. So, you know, he is going to go through a tough time in court. And that opens up question as to the future leadership of UMNO. Will Zahid still be there to lead UMNO? And if he doesn't, new leaders may emerge. How will those leaders be open towards the idea of cooperating with PKR or other parties from the PH? I think that's one area. Second, within PH itself, you know, how many more members of parliament can PH hang on to, you know, and therefore maintain the solidity of its ranks and therefore strengthen the base of support that they currently possess?
Ben, thanks so much for speaking to us.
Thank you.
You just heard from Ben Sufian, Program Director at Merdeka Centre, talking to us about what a potential UMNO-PKR alliance might mean. Let us know what your thoughts are on these types of political coalitions. Do you feel that they represent you and your interests as a voter? Call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. You've been listening to Inside Story, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.